episode reflects on the love you have for someone. You know, love is a very powerful emotion. A lot of people want it. And people who do have it try to find ways to buy someone with their love. You mean when someone says to you, I'm going to buy you love. Well, I thought love can't be bought. But people do. You buy someone love. And you say to yourself, well, I didn't know that love had a price tag to it. When I was growing up, I looked at my mother and father and I saw their love was free, price free. No. My father went out and bought things for my mother, but not because he wanted to buy her. No, he wanted to show his love to her. And I didn't see anything wrong with that. You know why? My father was a romantic man to my mother. He would just get her flowers or, and again, it didn't have to be a special occasion. There was no birthday or any other holiday. It was just because. Just because. I sometimes wish, why don't men do that? Just out of the spur of the moment. Just get something for the love of their life. And it doesn't have to be anything, you know, dramatic. Like maybe one little red rose or serenading a song to you. Writing a love letter, although now they say that that's so 20th century. Everything is done in technology. Let's create a video. Let's do a music scene. I want for someone to pour their heart out to me in a poem or sing a song. It doesn't matter if you're a good singer or not, or dance for me. It's the thought behind it. I always like to think that nowadays, because we're in the technology world, you know, we're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, which I don't like, and TikTok and YouTube. Everybody's always doing something for someone to impress upon them. I used to think that before technology became such a big deal, you know, just the simple act of going out, meeting somebody face to face, having a conversation with them, just passing the time away. But see, nowadays people are so busy. People are so busy and preoccupied with what's going on in their life. Now, I know life is difficult. You know, it's not easy living in this world. I'm alone. I spend my weekdays and weekends alone. And you're going to ask, why don't you go out? Well, number one, I don't want to waste the money to go out driving around. And today wasn't really the perfect day for it. It was more of a rainy day. Let's watch some movies. It was a little cold outside too. And number two, I don't want to go out by myself. I know a lot of people do that now. There's a new trend going on. I've seen it. For those who don't have friends and that are alone, a lot of women and men, but I think mostly women, will go to a restaurant by themselves or go to the movies by themselves. And one person asked, do you make friends when you do that? And I'm like, yeah, you meet some interesting people. Now, I thought of doing that, but then I thought to myself, but why? Would I feel funny walking into, say, a restaurant by myself? Yes, I would. But then I think to myself, many people I see sit beside themselves at a table ordering by themselves to reflect, to think. You don't necessarily have to be in a group to go out. A lot of people think, well, if you go to the movies, you have to have, you know, you see couples sitting in a movie theater. Now, are they really watching the movie? No, they're having their little alone time, but it's kind of like a date of some sort. I'm at home on the weekends. I work 3 days at the job and 2 days from home. And then the weekends come around and I really don't do much of anything. There is a part of me that wants to go out and work, you know, have another job on the side, but then I think to myself, I don't really want to do that though. I mean, I do because I need the extra money, but there are more important things to do in life, like take the time to enjoy nature. Find a hobby that you can do, like maybe take up learning how to play an instrument, or if you want to be an artist, creating a painting, you know, or reading a new book, trying out a recipe. When my mother was alive, it was so much easier because I had somebody to talk to. I don't have anybody to talk to. I've been trying to find ways to amuse myself, but it's not easy. Everybody, again, has their own lives. Like my family, they're all scattered about. I don't want to bother them because they have too much going on, you know. And then I think about the one person that I want so desperately to be with me, and I'm trying to find a way to get him down here, but there's always some type of a obstacle in the way. And that obstacle is called debt. Everybody goes through some type of financial crisis, but I always feel like there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope on the horizon, as they say. There's hope on the horizon. And I just want someone to know that you're not alone when you have these feelings, and you're not alone when you have these thoughts. I have thoughts going through my head right now that are not pleasant. And I'm always constantly thinking about, what is it that I can do to, number one, get rid of these negative thoughts? So I've been doing a lot of meditation, listening to a lot of healing music, looking at the colors. I actually got these pyramids and crystals. I've been looking at them because they're very soothing, you know. I've been wearing the meditative jewelry. Now a lot of people think, does that really help? It may not work for everybody, but I find that meditation just takes out all that negativity that's out in your body. You know, I talk about cancer a lot because, number one, I had it and I knew someone who passed away from it. Number two, I have a knowledge and idea of what cancer is all about. And not just what I battled, but just every cancer that's out there. We all go through the same emotions. Some of us know how to hide our emotions, and some of us just don't talk about it for fear that if we mention it, we may lose those people that we have in our life. Let me tell you something. If your friends do not understand what you're going through, and if you can't talk to them and tell them how you're feeling, then they weren't your friends to begin with. You know who got me through my diagnosis and my illness? My mother. My mother would sit up with me when I was in pain, rub my arm back and forth, soothe me, comfort me. And it just took away that pain for a split second. She didn't like to see me where I couldn't move around. I couldn't even eat and enjoy food. You know, we all take that for granted, right? If we're not sick, we can go out there and be at a function and have food and laugh and have a good time. When you're sick, your whole world stops for that second. And you have to think about, I'm fighting for my life because, number one, I'm at an age where I don't want to go. I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready to go up and meet my maker yet. My mother fought for me because I am stubborn when it comes to doctors and hospitals. I just don't like them, you know. But they did a great job in saving my life. And if it wasn't for them and it wasn't for my mother, I probably wouldn't be here to tell you about it. And I think about that and it brings tears to my eyes, that what would have happened if she hadn't been there? I think I would have given up. And you're going to say, well, what about the man that you was with? My ex didn't care about me at all. He never once showed up at the hospital. He never once gave me any type of support. You know, this is another thing I want to tell all of you gentlemen out there. When you're the woman in your life, whether she's your wife, your girlfriend, is going through a major medical crisis, I want you to be there for her. Hold her hand, comfort her, do whatever it takes. Because if she sees that you're there, it will give her the incentive to fight, to not let this pain, this illness take her body. She needs that moral support. And there's so much you can do for her. My ex was not there for me. If anything, he made my life miserable. And even when I was out of the hospital, I spent more time at my mother's house. But my mother took very good care of me. She made sure I ate. She made sure I took my medication. She made sure that I was well taken care of and that the pain was no longer there. If I would have And I went back to the apartment, and he wasn't around. He spent all his time with his friends drinking, and he'd come home and he'd be loud, and I was in so much pain, and he would pick fights with me, and he would be very loud, and he would get physical with me. And believe me, the few times that he's pushed me so hard, the pain was so tremendous, I thought I was going to die, literally. Because every medication that was given to me had bad side effects, and he knew it. But it didn't matter to him. He sat there, and he didn't even apologize. He didn't say, hey, I'm sorry for hurting you. Nothing. I think it's very important for everybody to understand that. And I'm going to stress this now. When someone is diagnosed with cancer, whatever cancer that might be, it is not a death sentence. Because if you can get it taken care of and treated as quick as possible, your life will be spared. If you wait like I did, and wait till it gets worse when you have to go through the chemotherapy, the radiation, and all that, you still have a fighting chance, but you're going to beat yourself up and say, why didn't I take myself in sooner? I could have saved my breast. Now, a lot of women are going to say, are you ashamed of what you have? No. And I never got back or went back many years after the fact to get a mastectomy because I'm hearing horror stories of the women that did go through and got a breast implant. And I thought to myself, I'd rather have the scar as my medal of courage, my medal of bravery, than to have to go through a mastectomy and go through that type of pain. You know, not even the mastectomy. Let me just rephrase that. Going through a breast implant. Because breast implants, they'll stay in your body, and then you'll get complications from it. You can have the silicone or saline. I didn't want either. I said, I'm not ashamed of having this. I'm worried that when it comes time for when you get intimate with a man, is he going to run? Or is he going to accept the fact that, hey, look, she's beautiful as she is. It's not her fault. You know, my ex made me feel that after I got better, he didn't want to go near me. And it hurt. And I looked in the mirror and I didn't like who I saw. And I said to myself, is this what it's supposed to be like? Someone who claims that they love you and is treating you this way because of something that, hey, yes, I could have prevented it from happening to me. I made a mistake. We're human. We make mistakes. That's why I say to all of you, when you have someone in your life and you're thinking about them now and you truly love them, whatever you need to do, go out there and try to find a way to put a smile on their face, whatever that might be, regardless of where, what your circumstances are. I'm going to tell all of you this now. Be brave enough to talk about it. So again, the person that I connected with, he presented himself to me as someone else. I'm hurt. I'm still hurt by that. But I think to myself, I think I understand why he did what he did. He was ashamed to show me who he really was and ashamed of his circumstance. And I said to myself, why are you ashamed? As I told him in the beginning, I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care where you come from. And I certainly don't care whether or not you are financially well off or not. And even if you're not, that's not going to change how I feel about you. I'm going to accept you as you are. But if you can't be honest with me and you continue to lie to me, I'm going to wonder why. What other secrets are you hiding from me? He broke down and he showed me who he was. And for that split second, I knew that he wasn't who he said he was. He was trying to pass off as someone else. And I said, you're living someone else's life. Is that fair? You're taking credit for someone else's accomplishment. You're taking care of someone you're taking their accomplishments, their dreams, their hard work and putting it onto yourself. But in all reality, number one, that's a crime right there. And number two, why can't you just accept yourself? Now, I always think that men, not all men, but there are men out there that think, well, if I can't have this woman, then I'm going to do something or be someone else so that I can get her attention. That's the wrong thing for you to do. Gentlemen, be yourself. Don't put on airs. Don't show off. You know, just be yourself. Show us your true self. You know, and I'm going to address this also to females. Females, I think, are harsh on men. Because I've seen females in a group talking. This was way back in the day, like in my earlier years. How they would criticize men, certain men. Oh, I don't like the way he looks. I don't like how he is. Or let me ask you something. When you say something like that, what happens if, for example, this was what I was taught. And I always wanted to question it and want to know what the answer is. I still haven't gotten an answer. I probably will do a video on this. If you have a choice between a good-looking man, like a really gorgeous man, and then you have an average man, and he's not bad-looking, he has his cuteness, he has his way about him that you find attractive, right? Now, the guy you're with who's gorgeous, his attitude can be improved, because I've been around men who think they're all that, and their attitude is just terrible. They treat you like crap, they talk down to you. All they care about is their personal appearance. And, oh, look at me. Look at all the women that are looking at me. Yeah, they're looking at you because you're a jackass. That's basically what it comes down to. All you care about is you yourself and no one else. Now, women are stuck with that because women are thinking, well, wait a minute now. Why did you choose me to be in your life? Because we're beautiful together. Okay, but it's more than that, isn't it? And then you think to yourself, okay, I have an average man who, in my opinion, is beautiful to me, provides for me, takes care of me, really is there for me, 100%. We have a great time together. We enjoy each other's company. We truly love one another. What is wrong with an average man? Why do women look at men with money? They did an experiment, and I'm subscribed to the channel. There's a guy out there who, he's average looking. And these women, snobby, stuck-up women with the attitude of, well, I need a man to take care of me, and he has to buy me this, and he has to do that. Yeah, gold digger. And so every woman that he comes into contact with, they want nothing to do with him. But as soon as he gets into a fancy sports vehicle or sports car, that's when their attitude changes. Why is that? Before, you didn't want to give him the time of day. All of a sudden, now he's driving a fancy vehicle, and all of a sudden you think he's going to provide for you? Think again. They don't like that. Women do that. And men, there are men out there that only want one kind of woman. The fantasy woman that doesn't exist. The point I'm making is this. Look at television. Now you look at entertainment. You think, oh yeah, there's all these gorgeous people out there. But they're ordinary people. And not every celebrity out there is married to somebody that's in the industry. There are people that are just ordinary people that are lucky enough to have, hey, I have a husband or a wife who's in the acting world, but I'm not in the same industry that they are. That's fine. You don't have to be. George Clooney is a gorgeous, gorgeous man. He's handsome, and he's married to a woman who's not even in entertainment. She's a lawyer. But she will appear with him, you know, when he gets an award at the Oscars or the Emmys, and she'll go up there and make a speech for him, and it's a beautiful love story. And you think to yourself, not everybody, quote, who's famous, has the same person in their life. You know, the same person who's in the industry with them. I always think that, and I think I read this somewhere, but I did my own little research. People who are in entertainment type marriages, they don't last. You know why? Because you guys are always competing with one another. You're always competing with one another to see who makes the more money, who's more well-known and famous. Whereas if you married someone who wasn't in the industry, your marriages would last 10 times more, 100 times more. So I don't get why people fall in love with that whole glamour and glitz going on. I don't get it. I really don't understand that. I do know one thing, though. There is a part of me that and I'm going to tell all of you again. Yes, I got my heart broken, but you know what? As I was talking to him, I started to develop, and in the 2 years that we connected, even though he pretended to be somebody else, and he knew it, the guilt was eating at him, I forgave him. I gave him a chance. I said, let's move on from this now. But do me a favor. Don't pretend to be someone you're not to impress me. Just be yourself. If you would have told me earlier on, things would have been a little different. And I think that it would have been real. Now, he poured his heart out to me. And I said to him, look what you made me do. You made me fall in love with you. I have feelings for him. I'll admit it to all of you. And that's why I said that don't be harsh on someone, male or female. If they try to perceive or try to be someone they aren't because they wanted to impress you and they felt that if they were someone else, you would take an interest in them. I know it's the wrong way about it, but he finally came out and admitted it to me. And the guilt was eating him. And again, I was hurt. I for a while didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to deal with it. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to pass up the chance of a lifetime to find true love. Now you're going to say, but how do you know he's who he is, who he really is? I'm like, because he told me. We had gotten into this conversation and I was, why did you fool me? Am I the one who is unlucky in love? Maybe. I might as well write Jinx on my forehead because I've had a string of relationships that were terrible. Now my sister, older sister, had said to me one time, she goes, I feel bad for you. And I said, don't. I don't want your pity. She goes, no, I think you deserve to have love in your life. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to have someone make you feel special, make you feel complete, make you feel whole. Have someone you can go out with and have a good time with and laugh and all of the things that you see other people do. And I don't want to really be like everybody else. I want to be in my own little world. And I created my own little world for myself. When I looked at my mother and father, I said, why can't I have their relationship? Because my mother and father made each other laugh, and he loved her, and she loved him, and they did for each other, and it lasted when it did, but then, of course, death took my father at a young age, and my mother was a widow, and she didn't want to get remarried, and I said, I'm grateful that you didn't want to get remarried, because I don't want to have, quote, a stepfather. I think my mother was true to my father even after he was gone, because she went to him, she went to see him, or every weekend we would go to the cemetery. That's our weekend thing that we used to do. Saturday, Sunday, or pick one of the days. We'd get him flowers, and she would just want to spend that time with him. And I said to my mother, but is this helping you get over him? It's not helping you to heal. It's making you remember all of the things that he went through. He would want you to continue on with life. There are a few times when she stopped living. And at the time, I didn't understand. I'm like, is this what it means when you hear the vow, till death do us part? See, I don't want that vow at all. I want to take it out of the marriage vow. I don't like the idea of being separated by death. I know that's a part of life. I've told all of you. But when you've had death surrounding you, every person I've ever come close to having, I lost, whether it was through illness or something that couldn't be prevented. I remember when in my younger year, I was almost came close to having a relationship with someone, but he was moving too fast. He wanted to get married. He was in his 30s. I was in my mid-20s. I said, I'm not ready for this. But he was ready to start. I said, please, I don't want to do this right now. I just want to get to know one another. What's the rush? You know, the world's not coming to an end. Because, you know, he was married. He had an arranged marriage. He lived in the Philippines and he worked over here. And his ex-wife and his sons lived on the West Coast. But they weren't divorced. They were still technically married, although they were separate. And I said, but you're still technically married. What makes you think that if you moved on with me, that what happens if you develop feelings again for her? that's going to hurt me, right? And I didn't want to be a, quote, a stepmother to his children. I didn't want to be a mother of any kind at that moment. I wasn't ready for that. But I look at my life now through a kaleidoscope, and I see my life where I, maybe if I had given him the chance, then maybe we would be happy, and I would have the chance at happiness and marriage and all of that, and I just let it go. I wasn't ready. And every time I would get into a relationship with someone thinking, hey, this is the one, it turned out to be a big mistake. I live my life with a lot of pain. Again, if someone asked me, do you ever remember being happy? No. The only time I was ever truly, truly, truly happy was when my parents were alive and we'd share all those special moments together, you know, or just having that quality time as a family to do things, go on trips, vacations, you know, and not just with the immediate family, also the relatives from overseas would come once in a while and we'd all get together and it was a happy time. Now it's like nobody comes over anymore and I'm here by myself and I haven't, don't know what to do with myself. So I say to all of you, it's important that we get to know one another, spend time with one another, really have that special time with each other. You know, life is short. And every day you have to come up with ideas to tell the people that you love. You love them, no matter what you do. You could sing for them, dance for them, write a poem. Pour your heart out. Make them laugh. Do something so that they know you're thinking of them. And they also know that one day you, both of you will connect, make that real connection face to face. See, human interaction for me is important. A video call doesn't have the same impact. Talking on the phone doesn't have the same impact. Text messages don't have an impact. The face-to-face physical, where you can touch them, feel them, hold them, that's true for me. And I had said to him, I want this to happen. We've got to make a plan to get you down here. We have to find a way to get you down here because I don't know how long I'll be here. Part of me wants to just escape right now. And I think about just moving to another country altogether just to get away from all of the chaos and all of the drama and all of the negativity and everything that's going on. I just don't want to be around when everyone else's happiness is thrown in front of me. I want to be able to escape. You know, chakra, healing, meditation. You should try it. All of us, you should try it. Create a chant, a mantra. Say to yourself, lift me up, hold me close, never let me go, keep me warm. I'm repeating a song, the lyrics that Rihanna sang at the Super Bowl, the Oscars. Actually, she sang it at the Oscars. And it was also a tribute to the late Chadwick Boseman. And I look at him and his videos, and some of his videos are haunting to this day. And I feel like he died too soon. He was sick, didn't tell anybody but the immediate family what he was going through. Nobody knew he was sick. Nobody had a clue. But I sensed it. And I saw a scene from the movie Black Panther. You just could see the signs from one cancer patient to another, what it is. You could tell. I immediately saw it. I said, how did you hide this from your co-stars? How did you do that? And then when they found out that he was sick, then it was too late. So just remember this. If you have someone in your life, tell them you love them. And no matter, if you can't get a hold of them, I always tell this to everyone, if you can't get a hold of them, find as many ways to get through to them. You know, text them, leave messages, do whatever you have to do. And at some point, they will respond to you. Just like my cat here. He's trying to make a name for himself on my podcast. His birthday is next month, right? Yeah, he's gonna be 19 years old. That's a milestone for a cat, 19. I've had him since he was a kitten, and he's outlived all the other cats I had. See, he shows me love in his own little way. The only thing is, he can't speak to me. He speaks to me through his little language, and we all connect with one another in that way. It's good to have an animal when you're alone, but it's not the same as a person. You can't compare an animal to a person. They're two different beings. So to conclude this episode, love is important. It's we all need it. Love is healing. Love is healing when you're going through an illness, when you're going through a crisis, when you're feeling down. Love just uplifts you. You know, it makes you see things in a different light. We have to have more love. More love, not pain, not hurt. We have to have more love because it's important. Love will keep this world growing. We'll keep it alive. Keep the spirit alive. Love's light shine down on everyone before it gets dim. God bless all of you. Take care.